Well, you pet stylist, you found the Broom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird. Surprise!
Hey, everybody! Merry Christmas! Hey, groomers, groom podsters, and others. Greetings. Surprise visit here from B-Bird and Susie. We just decided on the spur of the moment to tell you people what it is. I fooled around using some makeup today, this morning, and I felt camera ready. And so Susie thought we should take advantage of it and just come up live and be spontaneous and have a little fun with you today instead of being so damn serious. Yeah, it's too hard to be serious during the holidays, isn't it, Susie?
I'm wiped out. I'm exhausted. Although this has been kind of a weird holiday for me because I'm not overly booked since I'm trying to back off on the amount of people I'm doing. And my schedule, it'll either be really heavily booked for Thanksgiving or really heavily booked for Christmas. I usually don't get swamped for both. So in this case, I had my Christmas Eve appointments canceled and I was able to move my very favorite Big Tipper from the day after Christmas to the day before Christmas. So good for me.
Good for you. That's good. We haven't been very busy. This is kind of funny for me to say. But it's been one of the most relaxed Christmas seasons of grooming that I've ever had. And I'm really okay with that because my customers are just so regular that they don't feel the need to cluster. I mean, even if they get their dog done the day after Christmas, their dog looks so much better than the neighborhood dogs, even when he hasn't been done that much, that it doesn't really matter to them. Not very often. Just really only if the mother-in-law is coming.
Right. These people didn't care. They were fine with their regular standing appointment that falls on Thursday every 4 weeks. So they were fine with that. But to call up, you know, a couple days before the holiday. I know she's got adult children with young families, and I bet their parents are coming, and I bet the house is going to be beautiful because this is one of those gigantic McMansions, and I love their holiday decorations. And, you know, every year at this time of year, I do the holiday bathroom competition where out everybody's bathroom. Yeah, so she's always got a bathroom that ends way high up on the list. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Hi, Erica. Oh, my goodness. Erica's worked 7 out of 8 days. She's going to work tomorrow, days in a row. I'm with her. I pretty much have done the same.
No, I've done that for years and years and years, and not anymore.
I actually don't mind. As long as it's not overly booked days, I'll work every day, a little bit every day. It works okay for me. Although, it's going to be nice to have all of Christmas Day off and most of Christmas Eve off, because she just has 2 Pomskies and a Pomeranian. It's that lady. So pretty easy dogs, just drawing time, which actually we're going to talk about in our show. So let me introduce the show. I should probably do that.
Yeah, good idea.
Welcome to episode 235 of the Groom Pod, recorded on December 22nd, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. This week, we're talking about drying tips, Allerpet products, and the survey results. So anything exciting for you this week before I start complaining?
Oh, you're going to complain? No, like I say, we've just really had kind of a laid-back week. And then I have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off. So I'm going to have a breather. And then the following week, I have it something like a 5-day. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I'm more excited about that than Christmas because that New Year's break, I'm going to be doing some writing on that book, and I'm going to be able to get into it, and I'm just going to be able to set some other things aside and go for it. And I'm so into it. I can't wait to indulge myself with that and I'm trying to jam it to get it ready for the new year. I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to come in January. I know it.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, can I complain?
Okay, what's the problem? Tell me.
I don't know if it made national news. I'm pretty sure it might have. We have had torrential rain here, like 5 inches in one 24-hour period's worth of rain here.
Ugh.
And not only that, but we've had connected days and days and days of rain. So outside in the world is saturated. There's puddles everywhere. We're having road closures. We're driving through puddles that we shouldn't be driving through. People are getting stranded. You know, it's minor flooding, but it's flooding. Still, you can't get to your house because your driveway is too flooded. That kind of stuff is happening.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. But it's bad in a minor way. We don't have big flooding here except for occasionally. So this is just little irritating flooding. It doesn't wreck your house too much. It doesn't tear your stuff up. It doesn't drop the trees very much. But it does inconvenience you tremendously. What happens in the grooming trailer is the world is so saturated with water that my walls are dripping. My ceiling drips on my head. Everything is starting to look a little bit like mold is setting in on the walls, so I have to spray it down constantly with demolding stuff, and it is miserable. The floor is constantly wet. My mats get wet underneath them. It's a little odoriferous, but I can't stand in there without the floor mats. So I just am dealing with this nightmare that's, you know, minor irritation, really, in the big picture. Everything works. I'm happy. My cable's on and all that stuff. So it's not that big a complaint.
No, but I know. But it's an ongoing sense of not rightness.
Yes. And so I have Rhino lined my entire inside of the trailer. But there are areas where the Rhino lining is starting to deteriorate and the wood underneath is becoming exposed and it's starting to rot a little bit as well. And I'm trying to save that. And then on top of it, my wall heater went out. The space heater. The heater that heats the area in which we groom.
Ugh.
You know, just because we need one more thing going on. And because it's been so wet, I can't get my husband out there laying on the floor. It's so smelly and it's wet and it's gross. And Melissa says she just ordered a dehumidifier, but my problem is I have exactly 20 amps to work with total at any given time. So the dehumidifier would take away too much of my amperage to use my clipper vac and my clippers and my lights and, you know, whatever else I need to have on at any given time. So I've got it measured down to pretty exacting, and my wall heater fits in there. I can have the wall heater on and I can have the clipper vac on as long as I don't have the water heater on. So it's a little bit of a math problem constantly, but not being able to heat the interior to help dry it out is adding to my nightmare, which is, you know, the groom pod is just an extension of my continuing education. So that's why we're going to talk drying tips today. But, oh my gosh, I'm pulling my hair out. And then I realized that I don't know if I want to offer the doodle lady the shorter haircut. I think I just want to cut her loose because I've done so many nice drop coat dogs that dry so quickly and are so easy for me to do. I would rather have a dog trying to chew my fingers off that I need to work with that way than have to sit there and dry a doodle. It's too much. I'm in my head. You know, it's great. I'm getting through a lot of books, but that's not the point here. The point is to make money. And the doodles, those two doodles specifically, don't seem like they are working towards my bottom end. But in a happy note, my fingers are all healed up.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Look at that. That's good. Clean fingertips. God, you should have seen them last week, people. She's a walking wounded. She looks like... You're looking good now. Yeah.
I look a little bit like a shop teacher with all three fingers bandaged up, and you wonder how I made the mistake on the power tools. That's what I looked like last week.
We used to bandage our fingers for playing the drums because that's another way you can get cracked fingertips, and I've experienced a lot of that. But when I was teaching women to play drums, we would use duct tape to wrap our fingers in, and we thought we should, as women, it would be an interesting thing to send to the duct tape people about a use of their product, you know, with these five gorgeous women playing drums with duct tape on their fingers.
I have thought more than once about contacting the promotional department of Gloves in a Bottle and seeing if they wanted to advertise on the show, because we're a perfect target audience for them.
Right.
If I could get them to talk to me, it would be an easy sell, and I think they'd be a good addition to our advertising sponsorship.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, so I've thought about reaching out. The other exciting thing, which may help me in my process for drawing, is that we are getting a new sponsor coming on board. I believe that is one that you guys may know, and it's the Absorber Towel people.
Oh, all right. Do you see yourself 4 seconds after you move or talk? Do you have a delay?
I have a delay in what I get from you.
I have a delay in what I get from me, too. And it's driving me crazy, and I can't keep my eyes off of me.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, thanks for appreciating it, because it is kind of weird, and it's been going on since we've had the new setup, and I don't know. I want to block myself from just watching myself. Oh, it's so funny.
I can help with that. I could make you tiny. Then you wouldn't have to watch yourself.
But I don't want to be tiny, because I'm feeling Big Bird here. I'm feeling Big Bird going into my 80th birthday. I'm power up, you know, and there's no little in me this month, you know, because I am going into that 80 thing. Heads up. Boom. Bang.
Blows my stinking mind.
Your mind, you know, how did this fucking happen to me?
Wait. Well, moving on. anything from the week at all that you have to discuss, or should we just forge through to our first appointment?
Let's forge. I'm into forging.
Once again, surprise that we're doing this live Facebook thing out of the blue for Christmas for you guys, for holiday gift, for a just spontaneous Barbara looks awesome at 80 kind of a thing. And that's why we've popped up this morning. And I'm glad to see so many of you are following along. And I will also put this out in audio form, all nice and neatly groomed up. But hey, we like having this interaction thing. I am monitoring the comments on Facebook, which is why I keep looking down to see if anybody's saying anything. Nobody's saying anything, but oh, here goes the cat again. But we do have a regular show. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Let's forge ahead to our first appointment, which is drawing tips for me, because I'm battling the dripping. It's like drawing something inside of your locker room at school in the shower stall without the shower on. That's what it's like. The walls are just constantly dripping. So I thought we could go over the process from start to finish and talk about ways during the process that we can help Susie dry the dogs a little bit better.
I just have an external environmental application question to ask you.
Okay.
There are products you can get for your basement, et cetera, and so on, that absorb moisture from the air, and they're a passive dehumidifier, so to speak. You know, but they sponge up the, I don't know, I would get a fucking basket full of those crystals or whatever they are and stick them
I would be changing it out hourly. It's too much. It's like standing in a rainforest that's constantly dripping but not actually raining. That's how bad it is right now. Now, this is going to stop this week. We're done. It's going to get cold, and when it gets cold, it gets clear. So we're going to stop the rain. When the rain stops, the trailer will dry out, even if it's cold. This is only temporary for these long stretches where it rains and rains and rains and rains. So I have faith that it's going to get better. But in the long term, it's still a great idea for me to kind of assess my process. I brought in the dries the air, little dries the air things in there, and they were saturated and moldy like in 2 days. It was really overwhelming for them. And they had this one that had the bucket that you could tip out. No, what I need is a real live bona fide dehumidifier in there pumping all night long to get the stuff out, but I don't even have the household current to do that and heat the back part of the trailer that needs to keep the water running. Once again, I want to stress that this is only a problem for a little while, and I'm only complaining about it because we have this lovely forum where I can share and vent and we can learn from it. Otherwise, I probably would just live with it. But I'm sharing because everybody has to deal with this sometimes. So let's see if anybody's got any good ideas. Can you hang up super absorber sheets or towels or blankets? Yes. What if you run an air conditioner? I don't have an air conditioner. I would love to have an air conditioner. I use damper in the summer. Winter, it's really dry in my grooming room. Yeah, that must be cool. I get the cat cracks on the fingers on my... Yeah, the seal it with super glue. It works great. I'll have to try that. Oh, look at all these people talking to us, and I was so not paying attention. It's like juggling. So let's talk about anything that I can do before I put the dog in the bathtub. And the one thing I was thinking is maybe don't use gel to detangle ears and tails.
Why?
Because it seems to take me a little bit longer when I use gel products to dry those areas. Doesn't that happen to you, or is that specific to me?
Yeah, I don't use it that much, so lately. So I can't say, and I don't dry the ears. Yvonne does that. So, okay. Poorly. I didn't mean that. You know, it has to be bad enough to cause a reaction in the back room. We have a strange way of communicating, but it works for us, I'll tell you.
I can't think of anything before the bath that would really help drying after the bath. Okay, move on. Let's talk about in the bath. There are shampoo products.
Speed dry. Shampoo, show season speed dry.
What makes that work?
Well, you know, it's proprietary. It's like, we're not going to know for a while.
Okay.
My educated guess is that it's a surfactant similar to something that would be used in a car wash.
Does it work pretty well? I think I can't remember. I haven't used it for a while.
We get mixed reviews from the back room about that. And it doesn't work well enough for Yvonne to be using it regularly. I would have to suggest it. You know, she doesn't go for that. It's interesting how I can assess my products by how my assistant uses them and talks about them. I've learned how to read it. It's very interesting to follow whether she gets attached to something. I mean, sometimes it's right away she gets attached to something. Like those brushes that I got at Target. You know, she loves her brush from Target. And so what happens, this is kind of cute, is that she will like sing to her brush, or she will talk to her brush. Oh, here's my favorite brush. I'm going to use it now, kind of thing. She doesn't just come out and tell me, hey, Barbara, I love this brush. No, she tells the brush she loves it, or she tells the dog we love it, and then I have to overhear it and interpret it like, yeah, okay, good, that's a winner, right?
Right, that makes sense.
That's pretty cute. How shop communication types, that would be another whole show.
I like it.
That would be another whole book I could write. Yeah, right. Okay, moving right along.
So if I'm not using a specifically marketed speed dry type, quick dry, whatever, drying assist type product, how about, should I use like a clarifying shampoo or something like that? Or does it even really matter?
You know what? It does matter. If you want to talk like absolute drying efficiency, you don't want very much conditioning ingredients in there. Especially, I mean, a polyquaternium 10 or whatever that one is, that's a very common one. And some silicones, they make very thin films and don't really add on to drying. But some of the fatty alcohols like your cetyl alcohol and cedarol alcohol that are often at the base of a conditioner, of a cream conditioner, those things lay a heavier film on the hair shaft, which can make it take longer to dry. And they have humectants. You have to be careful. You don't want to use a shampoo that's high in humectants if you're fighting with humidity, because humectants draw moisture to themselves. You know?
Ah, so, no. Yeah. No more.
Right. I know. It's like a counteractive there. You know, like probably one humectant is okay, but you would not use a moisturizing shampoo, quote, quote, when you're battling the midwinter humidity.
Can I have permission not to use a full-on conditioner?
Oh, yeah.
Is it okay if I skip the conditioner?
If you have a shampoo with conditioning ingredient or ints, you can skip the conditioning. If you haven't had previous problems with that coat, if the coat is damaged, you really need some, at least a light conditioner. It could be a spray on, but you know, the thickness of the conditioner and the texture of the conditioner have little or nothing to do with the effectiveness in the hair or the fur or the coat, okay?
Something like Best Shot, maybe that would be less lengthening on the drying time than like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
don't know.
And then there are the speed dry sprays, which is the similar thing to the shampoo. I haven't been able to really do a personal test of that. But I think that the sprays are more effective in improving drying time than the shampoos.
So I generally spray a silicone spray on there when I'm drying. Does that do the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Okay.
You know, it might not make a small drop, but silicone is fast drying.
I have heard people talk about vinegar rinses. And we also have Results Rinse and Chris Christensen Afterbath. What about those kind of options? And what is a vinegar rinse doing? And does the dog smell like salad afterwards? I've never used that option, even though I do run it through my Bathing Beauty every night.
No, a vinegar rinse just smells, as soon as the coat is dry, you don't really notice it that much. You would have to really stuff it up your nose. So Chris Christensen Afterbath is in another category. That's in a plain conditioner category. You're talking now about using a product that has very low pH and helps to close the hair cuticle. That is not as effective as a thin coating that the silicone would provide.
Okay.
It is helpful. But that's one of the reasons why Results Rinse contains a small amount of dimethicone, which is to bring that silicone to give it the extra benefit or value of an actual ultra thin covering of the hair shaft. And because the silicone is so freaking smooth, the water just whooshes off of it faster than if it's scaggly cuticles raised cuticles or just plain hair surface.
So I'm thinking I should run a couple shots of either Results Rinse or something like the stuff or the silicone additive into my bath product at the end of my bath when I'm rinsing the dog off. And then I've got the spray already in there. I've got a little bit of the conditioning. I've got the sheeting of the silicone. Maybe that's what I should be doing.
You can just add it to the shampoo, pretty much any part of the shampoo, but it makes sense to do it at the end.
All right, let's move over to the table because we've got to get the dog dry at some point in time. What my options are is I've got a canine too with a variety of nozzle options, and then I have a very small handheld Andis dryer. Those are my two dryer options. I don't really have any other indirect drying in the grooming trailer. I start off with something that I learned from you and a long time ago, and I put a towel on the table and I stand the dog on a towel. That's first Good. And foremost, so that the dog's dripping on the towel. I know that helps. Also, I have a table divider up and I drape a towel over there sometime, so I'll have it in both places. And then right off the bat, happy hoodie on the dog's head, because I always have a difficult time getting the heads dry. I mean, in this environment, I have a difficult time getting everything dry, but especially the heads. And if I put that happy hoodie on right at the beginning, it's working to wick some of that moisture off of there. So those are all good things to do. What else?
I want to inject something here because you're skipping a step. The step okay. is to towel dry the dog just as much as you can.
How did I forget that? I didn't write it on my notes. I just went right past that one.
waiting for it to come in. But, you know, really, yeah, rewind. And now we're going to have absorbers to help us just slush up all of that. See, the absorbers are going to be really good for you because you can just wring them out on the tub and use them again. I can't wait to try them too. You need a towel off, manually remove as much of that moisture off that coat as you possibly can.
And I'm going to do the lift the ear and blow it so that he shakes off the additional excess moisture. I forgot all that whole, I just
you
skipped
just
right past
jumped
that whole
on
step.
Onto the table, there you are, you know.
Silly girl. Some days are like that with me. I'm in a hurry. I'm always tap dancing somewhere. So we've done that. We've got the physically manually dried the dog off as best we could. We put the happy hoodie on. We've got him standing on a towel. I've got a towel draped over my table divider. Which dryer do I use? Which nozzle do I use?
Well, it's going to depend a little bit on the coat. You know, the reason why these dryers are sometimes called force dryers is because the air forces the moisture off of the substrate, meaning the dog. In this case, substrate dog coat, you know. So, yeah, and right. you want to do it systematically.
Like top to bottom, systematically like that?
Top to bottom, so that you just, because be aware that you're chasing the water off. You know, you're chasing it into the air as well as chasing it in whatever direction you're moving towards the dog. So you want to go top to bottom, front to back, pretty much.
Okay.
And then come back and do whatever, however you do the head. Leave the head under the happy hoodies as long as you can to get it to absorb moisture and help drying in there.
Which of the nozzle combinations do you feel, just straight off the bat, is going to get the job done with the least amount of discomfort for the dog? Because I don't want to freeze the dog. I always heat my dryer up so that it's nice and warm before I ever start the process, because nothing's worse than being in a bathroom somewhere cold, like at a football game, and you wash your hands and all they have are those evil dryers that blow air on your freezing cold hands and they only have cold water. That's the worst. So I always try to really get that dryer nice and warm before I head over to the skin. But do you start with the cuff? Do you go straight to a nozzle of some sort? Do you use that water shedder? We've got so many options.
You want to reduce the volume of your air so that you increase the pressure of the air. So the size of the nozzle opening, the size and the shape of the nozzle opening determine the powerfulness, the rigor with which the air then hits the coat. So in the beginning, you want to spray off as much hair as you can. I like to catch it in a towel. So I'm actually spraying with my right hand, holding the towel with my left hand, a foot or two away from where I'm spraying the coat, and I'm picking up a lot of the mist that comes off the coat in the towel, and I don't stop until the towel is just like good and saturated.
Okay. Sometimes when it's cold out too, I wrap a towel around the dog's body, and then I kind of peel back a little bit and dry that area while the towel's kind of soaking up the rest of it.
We used to do that where I learned to groom, is that you would go from front to back and be, and especially on poodles and coats where we would, listen, I learned to groom in a kennel that was a show dog standard poodle breeders. And you can imagine how impeccable those poodle coats, we used to specialize in poodles, and it was my job in the beginning to blow dry the poodle, and boy, you had to get it really just right. I digress. You know, so the small flat nozzle is good. A cone nozzle is going to give you the most power, but it's also going to give you the most annoying noise that is at a level that is damaging your hearing. Let's put on earphones, earplugs, whatever, if we're going to get serious about force drying a dog, okay?
What do you feel about just the cuff and then right against the dog's skin? Marlene Romani used to teach
that
technique.
Well, that's the second phase. You blow off all the loose water until you're not getting any spray anymore. And you especially want to use that towel inside the legs. So you put your towel up against the leg close to you and you blow off the leg across from you and the air sprays onto your towel that's held in your left hand. So anyway, the next stage is to go with a wider diffusion of air close to the skin. And the easiest way to do that is just to take all the attachments off the hose and just use what Susie's calling the cuff of the hose, very, very close to the bottom of the hair. And you want to dry the hair bottom out, because if you're drying from the outside in, first of all, you're not going to get it straight. And secondly, you're just going to be pushing water again back onto the skin that you just tried to get it off of. You know, so you have to really be kind of aware and conscious, and Dave Campanella would like this, mindful of the dynamics of the moisture that you're blowing off the dog. Where is that going? What I've always wanted to see, Susie, is some kind of photographic technique. You know, they have those photographs of the corded dog shaking and you see the water and all of that. Well, I would like a video to continue seeing the spray of water as we dry a dog. I think it would be just a really interesting study.
I agree. That would be cool. Yeah, we got to. Dave, you should do that for your dryer seminar. You should get a slow motion camera.
Yeah, we would really learn a lot about what's the most effective thing in drying if we could see visually where, well, see visually. I think that's redundant. I want to visually see you. and I mean it.
What I do know for certain without a slow motion camera is that when I'm blowing this air past the dog's hair and it's grabbing the water molecules and it's flinging them up into the air, there's a good portion of those water molecules that are landing back on my dog. And I think by having the towels around, that will probably help that a little bit.
As much toweling around as you can get. Not only is it keeping it from landing back on the dog, but it's keeping it from just accumulating in the air.
Or on my walls.
Yeah, or on your walls, right. You should have towels up on your walls. You should find a way to just kind of clip them up there or something, because that's terrible.
What I do think would be the best idea for my situation probably is to get a dehumidifier in there at night while the trailer's sitting. So I could start with a little less moisture in the morning than I do. Maybe that would be the best answer to all of this.
I think that would be an improvement. Yeah. You know, but you still need to be mindful of what's happening with your moisture. And if you are blowing against a non-porous wall that's right behind your table, you are literally blowing air onto a non-porous. A non-porous surface is going to just bounce it back to you. So that's another thing that's happening. And that's why if you had some kind of, even if you had something that you could just like Velcro up and then just pull it down in between or something or whenever, you know, just to absorb that water, it would be as helpful as putting a towel on the on the table. You know, so just saying, you know, like.
And I think your technique of holding a towel also behind my drying area will probably help a little bit more than I got it laid over my table divider. But I'm not holding it in the direct area. So that's another thing that you brought up.
Yeah, there again, you know, you can figure with your bare hand, you can feel where the water is spraying and then just put a towel in your hand there.
Yeah.
It just takes a little bit of getting used to. And there again, you see, towels are non-porous, right?
Right.
The more non-porous, well, I take it back. Towels are porous. Your wall is non-porous, but the towel is porous, and so it absorbs a lot of moisture. Any fabric will do some of that. Toweling is just made to maximize that ability. God, I'm getting so fucking intellectual about the damn towel.
But it's true. That's what's going to help me, though.
You took me here.
I did. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll hear from Best Shot, and then we're going to come back with our back-to-school segment, which is going to be really fascinating for me as a person who suffers from allergies like crazy. We're going to talk about Allerpet products. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Tell me about our pet products. You've had this stored ever since like 2 weeks ago when we tried to go live and we shit the bed.
Well, yeah. We did shit the bed. Great way to put it. I love that. Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, so I got notes from a couple of weeks ago where we messed up. What I discovered that, first of all, the Allerpet, which is kind of the original stuff. Just to lay the background for people who don't remember, this is a topic that came up on the shampoos in the grooming industry Facebook group, and I brought it over to us because it interested me. And what happened over in the other group is that the topic quickly strayed onto just allergies in general and dog allergies. But we started at, what do you do for people who are allergic to their pets? Okay, so Allerpet was the original product that was developed to remove pet dander, which is the substance to which allergic to their pets people are reacting, right?
Yeah.
So the Allerpet is actually a spray that you spray into a mitt. They provide the mitt, even. You spray into a mitt or a piece of towel there again, an absorbent kind of surface, and you rub the dog down with it. And that helps to just like remove the dander, which actually comes from dogs and cat saliva. Much, much more often are people allergic to their cats than their dogs. But children are sometimes allergic to the dogs, and they have their hands and faces on the dogs all the time. The thing about this Allerpet is you need to do it like every day.
Oh, every day, yeah. That's a lot.
Well, you know, what I noticed in looking at the Allerpet dander remover was that the ingredient list reads more like a conditioner than a shampoo. Really.
Interesting.
Because it's got, yeah, so it's got humectants, it's got water and botanicals. I just actually don't even consider the botanicals unless it's a single or paired something that for an effect.
Do you know who invented Allerpet?
Probably a veterinarian.
No, you're going to crack up. It was invented by Shirley Calistone. Isn't she the poodle lady? K-A-L-S-T-O-N-E.
Yeah. Calistone. Is the poodle lady.
It was created by Larry and Shirley Calistone as the first external product to aid in the removal of pet-related allergens from the animals of those persons who wanted pets but were unable to have them because of allergic reactions. It was introduced in 1988. And they tested it for 3.5 years with people who are allergic to their pets. It significantly reduces the allergens, including feline D1 on the animal's fur, which is the saliva, by eliminating them at the source. Currently, the treatment of choice for most patients allergic is complete avoidance. But unfortunately, that treatment is not always practical, nor is it what people want. And that makes sense to me.
And, you know, the truth is that any shampoo will give you a temporary result. I just think that they must claim a longer-term result. What I want to point out to you is that you might miss is that there's a product from animals that comes from dead animals in the ingredient list of Allerpet Dander Remover. And what it is quaternium 26.
Okay.
It's a derivative of mink oil. I've mentioned this before. It's a derivative of mink oil, and mink oil comes only from the fatty tissue of the stomach of the mink. So this is a byproduct of the fur farming industry, right?
Ew.
Minks don't die just for their mink oil, but the only way you get mink oil is from dead minks, okay?
That's no good.
Mink oil was a fad conditioning ingredient of like the 80s. There were mink oil sprays that used to be used on show dogs, and people would swear by the mink oil, but they didn't think it through to the truth, the ugly truth, that you have to have dead minks to have mink oil. I do believe that if you're going to kill an animal for some purpose like that, that you want to use every piece of it for something.
I agree.
And so I'm glad that they don't just, like, throw away the stomach fat of the dead minks. There's a use for it. It still is kind of, you know, like facilitating. What's the word?
Yeah, facilitating. It promotes.
Yeah, it's promoting the use of dead mink parts. And here's the deal, is that nobody has to say that it's a mink oil derivative. You have to look it up. They're just going to say it's a conditioning ingredient, a cationic conditioner. And it is, indeed. And so people would just say, okay, that's good. Nice to know. Moving on, it also has quaternium 22, which is an antistatic film former. That's okay. But if you just ran into a list of ingredients and it said, you know, like hydrogen, collagen, quaternium 26, quaternium 22, hydrolyzed wheat protein, you probably wouldn't blink. But I happened to look it up and learn. And so this is one of the very few ingredients that I kind of disapprove of.
I'm not seeing any reason why it should work any better than a dry cleaning shampoo.
No, it was just the very first, you know, it was the first, it was the original. And the protein conditioning ingredients.
Yeah.
And the quaternium ingredients, they coat the hair shaft so that they will make it be less, you know, when you have a hair shaft and it's got cracks and crevices and stuff in it, as any hair shaft that gets old enough will, it's more attractive, more stuff's going to stick on it, like dander.
That makes sense.
It's no longer a smooth surface. So film-forming ingredients, they coat the hair shaft so that it's smooth and doesn't attract Klingons.
So there is a benefit to it that's a little more than just a cleaning spray.
Yeah, there is a benefit to it that's a little bit more.
But still, why don't they take that ingredient out? They should get rid of it.
They don't know. Ingredients probably came up a long time ago. And unless there was, you know, like some coalition that boycotted their product until they took it out, they probably won't take it out because they probably got, you know, barrels and barrels of this shit.
That's the truth.
Maybe Cousin Monty owns the mink farm. You know, I don't know.
Okay, well, I think that we can move on. I feel like we've said all we have to say. We don't particularly care for the ingredients of Valor Pet, regardless of whether it works or not. I don't have a lot of personal experience. I swear they had a shampoo at one time, but I don't see it available anymore for whatever reason. And lots of the wipes out there, but I'm not a fan of killing minks.
What this product had to offer was that it's something that could be used in between shampoos. You don't have to get the cat, especially, totally submerged and wet and all of that in order to get rid of the dander. I would probably use something like Listerine Minty Mouthwash or something to an alcohol-based product. Probably would do something, get rid of some dander. You know, like, it was a huge product. And the shampoos that are offered, they're not being forthcoming with a lot of their ingredients, so I wouldn't want to use them.
Well, hopefully people can find a way to live with their pets that they're allergic to. I went the route of the shots and the antihistamines and the medications, and I have a house full of pets that I'm allergic to, and I live in an environment I'm allergic to, and I do a job I'm allergic to, and look at me. I'm fine. A little wonky, and I have to squirt stuff in my nose and take pills and inhale crap, but I love my life and I wouldn't trade it for anything. So Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about Show Season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool, because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Well, let's move on to our last segment, which is our At the Table segment, Barbara. And I'm just going to really quickly go over the survey. I'm going to try to close the survey off because I think we're pretty much done with it. But I thought I'd let you guys know what the trends were, if you're curious, and let Barbara know as well.
Yes, I actually just saw it, an email from you with that in it. And so let's hear it. I'm all ears.
How long have you listened to the Groom Pod? Well, most of you guys who listen, actually 40% of you, have listened for 3 or more years. So that's impressive. I think we hold your guys' attention. That makes me feel honored. They have about 31% of them are 1 to 2 years, and then 28% are less than a year. Then the next question was, what do you think about the length of the podcast? And it was pretty much overwhelmingly agreed to that we're about at the right length. Some people wish we had a little more. There's a couple people who wish it was a little shorter, but I don't know how I could talk any less. I might implode or something. Then we asked, do you enjoy the What's New segment where the hosts talk about their week? Once again, overwhelmingly, people like that segment. It's 88% of the people who answered the survey like that segment. 11% of them said it was too long. And Barbara and I know when we go too long. It happens occasionally. It's just kind of a side effect of us being friends. And we sometimes forget you guys are out there listening and we just talk. So that does happen. Nobody doesn't like it, so everybody likes it, so at least who answered the survey. Do you enjoy learning about shampoo ingredients? Yes, it's one of my favorite things. We've got 57%. 38% say yes, but sometimes it goes over my head. A very small percentage, 3.4%, say I normally just fast forward. But, you know, that's our thing. We don't mind if you miss it, but you probably don't want to miss it. All right, subjects you would like us to cover more in the future. This was interesting because it started out with a pretty great lead for product reviews, and actual grooming caught up. So we've got 68% want actual grooming, 68% want product reviews, 57% want wah-wah business topics. Sorry, Barbara. That's all me. And then we've got 44% like self-care, 45% want to know ingredients, 38% like breed info, a little bit of shows and competitions, and then some others, which just a variety of others. Then when are you most likely to listen to the podcast? pretty much our goal has been reached, Barbara. Most everybody listens while they're at work, or if not at work, while they're commuting to and from work. I'd say that's pretty good. That's kind of what we were hoping for. There are 30%, 28% of the people who listen to it at home, and a few listen to us when they're working out. So there you go. Bravo to you guys. Okay. They also tend to listen the week we release the show. So within a week of the release of the show. There's about 18% who listen immediately. I mean, like right when it drops. I do that for some of my podcasts. I can't wait to hear them. And the minute they drop, I rush it. So we have 18% of that. 46% within 7 days of when it goes out. 28% when they get to it. And then there's like 2% that do when they're interested in the subject. And that was it. And then there's like a lot of questions that have some long answers to them that are more private, which I did send to you, Barbara. Hopefully you'll get to see all of the answers and all of the messages people sent us and everything. But I'm going to shut that survey off. We might do other surveys. I found it very helpful and very interesting. And I will say this. As we head into our next year, I'm really appreciative of the loyalty you guys have for the show. It's great that you have stuck it with us. I mean, this is a lot of talk about grooming, an hour every week. You wouldn't think about it, but that is a lot of grooming talk to come up with every single week. And yet, when Sunday comes along, I never really have too difficult a time. I might have somewhat of a time with one or two topics, but I can always dig deep enough to find something to talk to my good friend Barbara Bird about. Barbara, I think we made it. Let's get, before we lose the internet one more time.
Okay, all let's, right.
Let's wrap it up. So, guys, happy new year to you all, and we look forward to the next year. Happy grooming. Take care of yourselves. Barbara, words of advice and wisdom.
Don't forget to floss.
Very good. All right, see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.